Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
So, Meghna, there are a bunch of movies out there that have gone beyond being just movies to become real cultural phenomena. So think of them. Off the top of my head, and not to date myself, but I'd start with a movie like The Graduate, for
Absolutely, example. Absolutely. And not to date myself, but I'd add to that Star Wars.
Yeah, good one.
E.T., Titanic, and maybe the Harry Potter films even.
Yeah, right. So these are all films that tap into something, what, something primal? They give special significance to places, to ideas, even words and phrases that have been absorbed as part of our cultural expression. So I'm talking about phrases like this.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
We're going to need a bigger boat. Oh my gosh. It still gives me chills just hearing that, because
right.
That famous line, of course, with get out of the water.
Exactly. And of course, those famous lines come from the film Jaws, the Steven Spielberg thriller from 1975, which is arguably the original summer blockbuster. And it continues to thrill, to scare, and to excite audiences today.
Consider that today, on Martha's Vineyard, where Jaws was filmed, thousands of people are gathering for Jaws Fest, a four-day tribute and fan reunion. Some of the original actors will be there, including the stuntwoman and actress Susan Backlini, who played Chrissy, that young, sexy swimmer.
I remember her well.
Who could forget after seeing her close encounter with the shark that, well, didn't end well.
So Susan Backlini will be at Jaws Fest with all of her limbs intact. So will Joe Alves. He was the production designer for the film and did everything from overseeing the effects to designing the mechanical shark. And he originally scouted Martha's Vineyard, where the film was set, and he's on the vineyard now. And Joe Alves, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
My pleasure.
So tell me, what made Martha's Vineyard so right for this movie when you went out to scout locations?
Well, it was just fantastic. You know, I scouted all the East Coast, the Hamptons, Sag Harbor, Marblehead, all the way up to Maine, and then Nantucket. What was perfect was Edgartown was just the most pristine little town, and the concept of a shark destroying their whole summer was unbelievable because they were so white picket fence, you know, kind of thing. And then Menemsha, I remember thinking, I was a big fan of David Lean, and he all made these huge productions, and I got on the hill and looked down at Menemsha, and I thought, oh my God, David Lean would have built this, you know, and as a designer, it saved me a lot of work. I wouldn't have to build it.
So it had a lot of what you were looking for. The movie, while you were making the film, actually employed all kinds of residents on Martha's Vineyard. So in a sense, did it feel like the people of the island were part of the production team as well?
Oh, it was incredible. And of course, this was a small-budget movie from the way the studio looked at it. I brought a carpenter and a painter, and, of course, then a small crew for decorators. But the carpenter hired all locals, boat builders, to build the boat. We built two boats for that. And all the painters had to be locals, had to be trained to paint in the Hollywood way, and Ward Walton did that. So we had the local people really behind it because they were making money from it.
Sure. Now, you mentioned it was supposed to be a small-budget movie, so did you have any idea that it was going to turn into the definitive blockbuster that it became?
No, you know, they gave us far less time than everybody else said that we needed. So it was thought of as sort of, from Universal, not as a big movie because, you know, it's a shark movie. And then well, it grew, but we ended up going back home doing some little shots of one in my driveway, one in the editor's swimming pool, and things like that. So as big as it became, it was also very intimate with a small crew.
Well, Joe, let me ask you about, as the production designer, you had the challenge of designing the robotic shark. What was that like? What was the big challenge that presented?
Well, it was incredible because the studio effects department said it was going to take 2 years. So I sculpted a 4-foot shark. I got an ichthyologist, Leonard Campagna, who's a shark expert now. We worked on getting the look of it perfect. And then we went about having a modeler make a 25-foot shark. And so when we got the shark here from L.A., it worked fine dry. Never had a problem with it working. But as soon as we got it into the water, we just totally underestimated the damage that the water would do to all the electrical stuff. And so it was a constant challenge. It would work and then not work. So it was very sporadic. So we shot everything we could shoot without the shark. And then the first shot that worked was the shot where it came up and Scheider was chumming and said, we're going to need a bigger boat. And right. Then, you know, everybody applauded. My gosh, it's going to work.
Let me ask you about what I understand was one of your favorite scenes. And this was a scene where Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw, and Richard Dreyfuss are drinking in the cabin of their boat. And
right.
They get a surprise visit from the shark. Let's listen to the scene.
Out of the engine.
Wow. So the shark makes a surprise entrance. What did you like, Joe Alves, about that scene so much?
Well, there are two different shots. The shark actually was hitting the hull of the boat, right?
Yeah.
And there was a shot of the water coming through the hull. We shot that in my driveway.
No kidding.
We had a little section built, and we shot it in my driveway with a water hose. Later, when the shark has already eaten Shaw, I said, it'd be great if we could get the shark into the area where they were doing that wonderful scene, you know, where they were drinking. So I thought that was one of my favorite shots when the shark came right into the cabin where you saw the drinking scene.
That's a great scene. I want to ask you about this. There's something almost quaint about Jaws today, but it isn't fair to say that because it still delights and terrifies people. And yet, you know, we're living in an era of computer-generated effects and all kinds of special effects that you guys didn't have available to you back in the day. Why does this movie still work so well for audiences?
I think it's the simplicity. You know, we have the ability with CGI, and I worked on a few CGI movies, computer-generated images, that you could do just about anything. Just do multiple things, multiple monsters, I mean, and they just go on and on. The simplicity of Jaws is it wasn't a monster because it was just slightly bigger than a real white shark. I mean, they have caught them 20 feet. Ours was 25. So it's realistic that it could exist.
Mm.
And then having this confrontation with the three guys, and they each had their own purpose to be there. And it ceases to become gimmicky.
Yeah. I know the author of the novel Jaws, Peter Benchley, at one point expressed regret for having portrayed sharks as killing machines. And it's interesting to ask this question now because, of course, this summer out on Cape Cod, there have been some sightings of great sharks. A swimmer was bitten and so on
right,
and so forth.
I know. And I spoke to Peter about it 7 years ago when he was here for the 30th anniversary, and he was doing a lot to compensate for that. And I hate to be sort of blasé about it, but basically the shark was a moving prop
sure.
that I had to design. I had no feelings one way or the other about sharks. You know, I feel very bad about how people think of sharks, but you're going to have any kind of negative thing when you make a film.
Sure.
People are going to react one way or the other. That wasn't the intention, obviously. We just wanted to captivate an audience.
Well, you did that. It's pretty amazing to think that 37 years later, this film still seems to be captivating audiences.
You know, you work in the business like I did for so many years, and you work as hard on the pictures that don't succeed, and most people will tell you that. And you're always hoping for the best. Sometimes you get on a project and you realize you got on it, and maybe it's not the best thing, but maybe, I mean, no one really anticipated the kind of success and the longevity that it's had.
Yeah, it's truly astounding. Joe Alves, before you go, tell us a little bit about what people can expect at Jaws Fest this weekend.
Well, what you're going to find is some really interesting things. It's Greg Nicotero, who is one of the sort of creators and director now of The Walking Dead, and he has a prosthetics shop. And he's made the three characters life-size, so realistic. You could see Shaw, Dreyfuss, of course, Dreyfuss is still alive, and Scheider, all there, full-size, so unbelievably realistic. It's frightening. Just an incredible array of Jaws stuff. And Carl Gottlieb, the writer, Jeffrey Kramer was his deputy, myself, we're going to be doing a lecture tonight.
Well, Joe Alves, it sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. My pleasure.
That's Joe Alves. He was production designer for the classic thriller Jaws. He'll be at Jaws Fest on Martha's Vineyard today through Sunday. There's more information on our website, radioboston.org.
after all these years, that music still gives me chills.
It's fantastic. That's it for today, everyone. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our program is produced by Jessica Alpert, Dan Mawsey, Amory Sievertson, and Melissa Galvez. Our interns are Michelle Woodward and Megan Dooley.
We had help this week from Aisha Siddiqui and Shannon Dooling.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.